It did not surprise too many people when the Oregon legislature passed a law banning suction dredge mining recently. The permanent ban replaced a temporary moratorium that had been in place for a few years already. The key word in the mining process is suction. The dredges suck up material underwater in a high-speed version of panning for gold. The heavy materials end up settling out, and for the lucky miner, that's gold. Legislators and environmentalists are concerned about the effects of all that suction on streams and the fish that live in them, so they're pleased with the ban. You can imagine how miners feel, but we'll go beyond imagining, and we'll talk to Tom Kitcher, who's with the Waldo Mining District in Josephine County. Hi, Tom.
Hello. Good morning.
Good to have you here today. I can't imagine that there was any particular surprise in what happened. I mean, did you really think this was going to turn in from a temporary moratorium into a permanent ban for sure?
Oh, well, California did a temporary moratorium that's been going on now for over 8 years, so this is not a big surprise.
Mm-hmm. And did you have any allies in the legislature who you were kind of buttonholing or lobbying to work against the ban?
I didn't quite get that. What?
Did you have any allies in the state legislature who were on your side?
Oh, yes. Most of our local state representatives, Senator from Josephine County, were for us. Most of the Republicans backed us, with the Democrats in full control of both branches of the House or the legislature. There wasn't a whole lot we could do.
It was more or less along party lines, as you point out. I noticed that four Republicans in each House voted yes for the ban. So this is about what you expected, you're saying?
Yeah. The ones that voted yes, the Republicans, I know several of them were doing it in honor of Senator Alan Bates, mm-hmm. Who started this mess a few years ago.
Alan Bates died suddenly last August. I know a few people did mention that in voting for this because that was it. So when you say he started this mess, I mean, let's get into some of the specifics of why he felt it was necessary in the first place or what the issues are. And in fact, let's go even further back than that. Talk about what happens out there for people who don't understand a suction dredge mining operation. What do you do?
Okay, well, generally speaking, a suction dredge is a complete system. Basically, the suction part of it is just a means of delivering the material to a sluice box. A sluice box is basically just a trough with riffles in the bottom of it that catch the gold and other heavy material. It really doesn't matter if you shovel the material into the sluice or pour it out of a bucket or you suck it up through a hose. A sluice box is a sluice box is a sluice box. They all work basically the same way. There's nothing magic about it. We don't add any chemicals. We don't add anything to the water that isn't already in the water. When we're sluicing, dredging, obviously we're sucking up material through a hose. Dredges are sized by the inside diameter of the suction hose. So it's kind of like an underwater vacuum cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever doesn't fit in the hose, the miner has to throw out of the way by hand. So if you're the typical dredge, 65% or so of the dredges that were permitted by DEQ were of the 4-inch size. So you're looking at, we can suck up a rock about the size of a hardball baseball. Everything else you have to throw out by hand.
Mm-hmm.
So a good person, you know, a physically fit person, could basically duplicate what a suction dredge does with a shovel.
But they'd have
about
to be
the same amount of time.
Oh, really? They wouldn't have to be too fast, you think?
It depends. I mean, if the sluice is big enough to hold a, you know, the similar to the size it would be on a 4-inch dredge, which is about an 18-inch wide sluice box, you could sit there and shovel. The difference is, way most people would understand is, say you got an old kitchen floor, you know, in an older home that's made out of wood, and it's got cracks in it and stuff like that, and you need to clean that floor. Which is going to do a better job, a straw broom or a vacuum cleaner?
Uh-huh.
You know, that's the difference here. Gold is heavy. It settles to the bottom. What we're looking for is the gold that's down on the underlying bedrock at the very bottom of the stream bed. Because that's where most of the gold is.
Mm-hmm. Because it is heavier.
You can't shovel gold underwater.
Right. So you're down there with the hose and either a snorkel or a scuba gear?
It's hookah gear. We have a regulator. It's like a scuba diver, except we don't use tanks. We have a little air compressor on the dredge, and it delivers air to the diver through a hose.
All right. We're talking about suction dredge mining with Tom Kitcher from the Waldo Mining District, specifically about the ban that Oregon enacted very recently, a permanent ban on suction dredge mining in some Oregon streams. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So what kinds of regulations, even when this was allowed, did you, I mean, it sounds like you were regulated on hose size. You must have been regulated in time of year as well, and location and stuff like that?
Well, correct. We're in Southern Oregon, we're limited to for the most part, a three-month window of opportunity. Generally, it's June 15th to September 15th that we're allowed to be in the water. And that's set by ODFW, and that's to protect any fish eggs that might be in the gravels. So, in other words, during the summer months, they figure all the fish have hatched out, and it's safe to go ahead and disturb the stream bottom because we're not going to run into any fish eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically about the only real viable harm that anyone has ever been able to show. Whereas, if we sucked up fish eggs, obviously that would not be good for the fish eggs. Or if we buried a red with tailings out of the sluice box, that would suffocate the eggs, so that wouldn't be good. So most of us can live with that.
Mm-hmm.
We understand that. We have some problems with it because we're in the water. We can see if there's a red there because we're underwater with a face mask on, with our noses inches from the gravel. In the meantime, fishermen are allowed to wander around with waders, and they're just warned, try not to step in a red because you'll crush the eggs.
So you're saying people can blunder into streams and do damage to fish just as much as anybody with a sluice box could?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. What? How long have you been at this, Tom? How long have you been doing suction dredge mining?
Since 1980.
Mm-hmm. And has it proved to be lucrative enough that you could like quit your day job or anything else like that?
This is what I do. I live on a very low income. It's mostly because of all the restrictions. I spend more time fighting for mining than actually mining these days.
More restrictions to overcome all the time?
Sure. I mean, in their new permit the DEQ puts out, we're not allowed to move a rock bigger than 1 foot in diameter. Well, whoever heard of miners that can't move rocks?
Well, I was going to ask you about that because you mentioned shovels in streams, and I wonder if there are regulations about those, and it sounds like there are, certainly on the kinds of rocks or size of rocks you can move.
Not previous to this new permit, no.
Mm-hmm.
We were allowed, actually what they say is you can move a rock bigger than 1 foot in diameter, one person by hand with no tools.
Ah.
So if I'm Andre the Giant, I can move a 400-pound rock, but if I'm a 90-pound weakling, then I can't move it.
So now that the suction dredge ban is in place, and it certainly has been as a temporary matter, now it's just permanent, and I don't, there are no particular changes between the temporary and the permanent versions, are there?
Yes, the temporary moratorium not only affected, both of those bills affect more than just suction dredge mining.
Mm-hmm.
What they're banning is motorized placer mining equipment. So not only is a suction dredge banned, which typically, like I said, the most common dredge is a 4-inch dredge. It has a 6.5 horse lawnmower engine on it.
Mm-hmm.
What's also banned are small battery operated devices that are fed with a tablespoon because they're motorized.
Mm-hmm. So what kinds of battery-operated devices would those be?
They're concentrators, for the most part. They call them gold wheels or little mini sluice boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Little vibrating devices that would try to catch gold.
And so, Tom...
They're all fed with things, typically like a garden trowel or even a spoon. You can't use it because it's got a motor.
So if you want to mine for gold in a stream in Oregon now, a stream where the ban is in effect, you're down to, what, shovels and your hands?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And is it worth it to you? Do you do that still?
Some do, but it's not very effective.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the main reason that a lot of us suction dredge is because the gold is still in the bottom of the creek bed, because basically your old timers that were stuck with shovels and gold pans couldn't get to the gold.
Mm-hmm.
Because how do you shovel in 5 feet of water?
So I want to remind our folks, we were talking to Tom Kitcher from the Waldo Mining District about the new permanent ban on suction dredge mining in Oregon streams. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So let's move into this part of it, though. I mean, obviously, there are things you can get with a suction dredge that you couldn't get if you're a guy standing there with a shovel, before all this equipment was invented. But what does that say about how deep you're going into the riverbed and how much material are moving around?
Well, we can go down to about 20 feet is about the limit for the air and the suction of the dredge. Normally, that's very rare that anyone goes that deep. The typical stream bed around here might have 4 or 0 to 4, 5, 6 feet of overburden on top of the bedrock. In a lot of the creeks, the bedrock is rough and cracked, and the gold is down in those cracks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've uncovered bedrock where you see this solid gold-filled crack. There's no way to get that out of there with a shovel.
So what can you do legally now?
That's a good question. Generally speaking, working by hand is going to be far more environmentally disturbing than running a suction dredge. Because now to get to that bedrock, I've got to drain the water off of it. Which means you'd have to dig a very long trench so that the water will drain to manageable levels. Whereas with a suction dredge, I can just go straight down and get to the bedrock and see if there's any gold there. If there isn't, I can move on to a different spot.
So much of what has been said about suction dredging revolves around the fate of fish. And you mentioned the fact that obviously you can't do this when there are eggs there. And any miner who's paying attention will not suck up the eggs off the gravel if there are some there. And what do you know about studies? I mean, that's often been a complaint I hear from the mining side, is that there's not enough study of this.
Well, I believe it's pretty much been studied to death. It's just that the studies didn't show what the people that don't like mining wanted the studies to show. For instance, I've got a study done in 1998 by Gregory and Levings that was published in the Transactions of the American Fishery Society. And they found that turbidity, which is basically the cloudiness or dirtiness of the water, mm-hmm. reduces predation of migrating juvenile salmon. And what they found was that in moderately turbid water, and what they called moderate was way more than the turbidity from a suction dredge, juvenile salmon, which is age 0 to 1 year, survived noticeably more in turbid water than crystal clear water, just simply because they didn't get eaten.
In addition to all the other things that were listed in the most recent permits you got from Oregon's Department of Environmental Quality, DEQ, were there also prescribed limits on turbidity?
Oh, there always has been.
Mm-hmm.
We're not allowed turbidity, any visible turbidity beyond 300 feet of the operation.
Oh, really, no visible turbidity at all, 300 feet away?
Correct.
Uh-huh. Wow. So what happens now? I mean, this does not affect all streams in the state of Oregon. Is that correct?
Correct. But in Josephine County in particular is going to be hit by far the hardest than any other county in Oregon, simply because we have highest concentration of gold-bearing streams are in Josephine County. And of those streams, roughly 90%, 80 to 90% of them are designated as essential salmon habitat, which means we're not allowed to work in them anymore.
So is there...
And what that's going to cost Josephine County is going to be anywhere from $5 to $10 million a year that miners won't be spending in Josephine County.
Oh, just because they won't be there to do the work and spend buy groceries and all that sort of stuff.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And that, none of these figures, nobody knows how much gold is being taken because there's no record of it. But you could extrapolate, the hit could be more like $20 million a year. It's hard to, all you can do is guess.
Tom, I mean, miners are a rare breed these days, so most of the population doesn't quite understand it all. So why are no records kept about how much gold has come out of it? I mean, I understand from a personal level, you wouldn't want people knowing, hey, I just got X amount of gold out of this stream. But I mean, no records kept at all about what any stream has provided in the way of gold?
No. They've never, in this country, we've never, I guess it's called liberty. which is kind of a strange word these days. The miners were free to, in fact, if you look at the mining law of 1872, that ancient old law that they don't like, it says that all valuable mineral deposits on lands of the United States shall be free and open to exploration. Generally, anyone that's a citizen or even some that aren't citizens that have declared their intent to become citizens are totally free to enter the public land and search for minerals. And if you find a valuable deposit, you can claim it. It's quite similar to Columbus planting his flag on some island, claiming all of this for Spain. You know, it goes back to that kind of thinking.
But one of the issues, I believe, with the 1872 mining law is that you're not paying any royalties to the government once you pull the metals out, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, the miner is risking everything looking for those minerals that society needs.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of but howevers on this one, aren't there, though? Because it's also public land.
True. But do you know what public land really is?
I think you're about to tell me.
Sure. The definition of public land is lands belonging to the United States that's open to appropriation.
Open to appropriation by individuals, you mean?
Correct. Used to be you could homestead. You could just go out and find your spot, clear your land, build your cabin. If you lived there so many years, it was yours.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've done away with most of the homesteading laws, as far as I know. And the only way to actually appropriate public land anymore would be under the mining law through a mining claim.
Tom Kitcher, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange with the Waldo Mining District. We're talking about the Oregon suction dredge mining ban, a permanent ban in effect since the governor signed it last week. We did talk to another miner, I think from the Galice Mining District a few years ago, who simply disputed the right of the state to regulate at all. And, of course, you're talking about the federal 1872 mining law. Where do you come down on the power of the state to regulate things like suction dredge mining?
There was a case in California called Granite Rock, went to the U.S. Supreme Court, where the U.S. Supreme Court, in a 5-4 decision, decided that states and other local government agencies could regulate mining through a standards-based permit system,
mm-hmm.
but it had to be necessary and reasonable, because even the federal government cannot endanger or interfere with the mining. So I think what's happened here is the state of Oregon and California have basically gone way too far. They don't have any science. This is all a political maneuver to tie us up in court, which we are in court.
There was a lawsuit, I noticed, in 2015, but what has become of that in federal court in Medford?
We're on appeal in the U.S. Ninth Circuit.
On appeal. Have you even gotten the trial yet, though?
No.
Mm-hmm.
All the briefs have been filed, and we're just waiting for the court to set a hearing date.
We have an email here, Tom, from Todd in Ashland, who says he's a former fish biologist. He says the problem with, as he sees it, with suction dredge mining is all the macro invertebrates or aquatic insects are sucked out of their homes in the voids between rocks, run through a pump, dispersed into the water column where the fish eat them instantly, which is why
sure.
the miners claim it's good for the fish, but they notice fish feeding while they're dredging. It may be good for the fish at that particular moment, but it leaves a stream bottom completely devoid of life. I wonder what your response to that would be.
My response is numerous studies have shown that within 30 to 40 days, the numbers of all of those macro and whatever they are return in greater numbers than originally they were there.
Mm-hmm. But do we have any way of knowing a 30 to 40 days is a proper amount of time for the fish food to not be there?
We're only talking about a very small area.
Mm-hmm.
You've got miles and miles and thousands of miles of stream, and we're disturbing maybe 20, 30 feet.
Mm-hmm. And how far apart did the suction dredges have to be when they were allowed to operate?
Basically, until recently, we kind of self-regulated ourselves because most dredgers don't want to work right behind another dredge because you can't see.
Right.
So the dredgers would normally naturally space themselves. Occasionally you would see maybe two dredges side by side working together, but still their added turbidity cannot exceed 300 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of it's self-limiting.
All right. So, I mean, are you holding out much hope that lawsuits or further attempts at modifying laws or anything else will come to fruition? Do you think suction dredging will be back in the streams from which it has been banned, Tom?
I certainly hope so. There's talk about massive class action lawsuits because these mining claims are property, real property, just like your home. So the state has just stolen our right to use our property. Because the only allowed use of a mining claim is to mine it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's to me this is like telling loggers, yes, you can still log, but you can't use a chainsaw. You have to use a bow saw.
Okay, lots of interesting information here. Tom Kitcher from the Waldo Mine Industry, thanks so much for joining us today to help explain the miner's view of the suction dredge mining ban. Appreciate it.
Sure, thank you.
All right, take care.